Hey Potters, Valerie here. Welcome to episode 98. As you can see, Amber is unfortunately not here as she would normally introduce us at this time. She had some real life things come up, but that's okay because this episode is pretty much going to be Val talking a whole ton anyway. So maybe it's for the best. I don't know. I know that'll make Amber really happy because she tends to be the one that's more chattery than I am. So hey, break for Amber. Ducky her. Woo! So let's start off with a little bit of housekeeping things. We don't have any cosplay updates because this is almost a week back from Dragon Con for me. I still haven't even been back at my home for a full week yet. So there's been no cosplay progress for me whatsoever. I pulled a pattern out that I'll start cutting and working on my Game of Thrones outfit eventually, but that's been about it. Mostly it's just been washing and cleaning up because Dragon Con. It's one of those conventions where you really do need to wash everything the second that you get home because you're just sweating profusely even in the skimpiest of outfits. So I got no cosplay updates. I'm sorry about that. But next time I should totally have a ton of cosplay updates because there's a lot of stuff that's going on. So let's see. So other housekeeping things. Today, as of this recording on September 13th, Super Mario Brothers is turning 30. Feel old. Time to feel old. The elders are speaking. Yep, Mario is turning 30 years old today, and that is fantastically awesome news. They're celebrating with a brand new game, which is Super Mario Maker. If you haven't had a chance to play this, it's on the Wii U. Tons of fun. Totally worth the investment. It basically lets you make Mario levels as crazy as you want them using all the past Mario games. I think Galaxy is the only one that's not included because that's very three-dimensional like, but like if you want to make a Super Mario 2 level using Yoshi from 3 and then you want to throw in like the original Mario game, you can. If you need a perfect example of how crazy Mario Maker can be, go watch the PAX Prime Omegathon Final Round. Nintendo actually developed a level specifically for the two finalists to play through. It is incredibly funny. It's ridiculously difficult, and I felt so bad for those PC gamers who had no clue what the heck was going on. So go take a look at it. It's a ton of fun, and happy birthday to Mario. On a not so great side of news, one of our good friends, Mike Battle, who is also a staff member for Project Akon, which is one of the largest anime conventions in the South, and probably second or third largest in the country behind Anime Expo, unfortunately his home burned down over the weekend. Luckily, he's fine. His family is fine. His pets were able to make it out okay. He did have to take one of them to the vet for smoke inhalation, so now he's got a $1,000 vet bill on top of his other problems. He's pretty much lost everything, though. So there's been a GoFundMe that has been started for people to help donate, to help him get back on his feet, because insurance can only cover so much. And they're probably not staying in a great hotel, but at least it's something. They need a roof over their head. They're able to get food and whatnot. So if you can, we're going to post the link. Please consider donating, even if it's just a couple of bucks. Mike has been a fantastic friend of ours for years, not just to us personally, but to the show. He is one of the first on the front lines to help defend fans and get their rights and help bring great programming to Akon. He's the guy behind the guidebook and behind a lot of the fan panels and such. So we have a lot of respect for him, and we really want to do whatever we can to help him out. So please consider donating if you get a chance to. Next up on our list is episode 100 submissions, because we are getting really close to the deadline, probably by the end of the week. So let me take a look at this. So by September 20th at the absolute latest, if you have anything that you want to submit for episode 100, please do so by September 20th, just because I need time to compile everything, get it all stuck together, and that whole business. And it can be anything from like a letter or an email you want to write, to fan art, if you want to make your own video, if you have your own cosplay tutorial you want to throw in, we'll take that too. Or if you just want to make suggestions on some of your favorite Cospod moments, that's totally fine. It's going to be just a giant retrospective episode and just a bunch of fun stuff thrown together. So make sure to get those in as soon as possible. Cue. All right. So enough of me talking. This is basically going to be a review episode, and I'm already looking forward to this. Up first, and I'm jealous, our West Coast correspondent, let me correct myself, our West Coast correspondent, Catherine, went over to frickin' PAX Prime. I am uber jelly. Here's her review of it. Alright, everybody, I'm really excited for this because I had no idea that she was doing this, but our correspondent, Catherine, went to freaking PAX Prime. And I'm jealous. So much jealousness. And she's been very gracious to come onto the show again and give us her review of the entire experience. I'm jealous.
Yeah, I definitely get that. I don't know if it's like just this look in your eye or what, but I can totally see the jealousness just emanating off you. I could feel
I'm
it through my computer.
Fuming.
Yeah, no, like, and you definitely have a reason to be jealous. This convention is just like a gigantic arcade for adults and nerds like me. I couldn't believe it. I didn't know what to expect. You know, I had been to BlizzCon, which was absolutely a blast, but I gotta say that PAX is like on a whole different level here, and just in the range of things to do and experience and what's just available to try, and it's mind-blowing. The people there are just a huge range of people, and it just like shapes and sizes and who they are. Everybody's there because they love, you know, their games and the experience of a community that is, you know, generally pretty, you know, I want to say this nicely, but you know, generally pretty, it's pretty on their own. You know, they come, they play their games, they're at home, you know, and I mean, they have their groups maybe across, you know, games when they're doing raids or what have you, but to be able to get everybody and this very individual kind of passion here all at one place is just so dynamic and just thrilling. I loved it.
And say, yeah, there's something about PAX that there's just this gaming community closeness that you really can only get at PAX. And that's just what makes it so darn fun. And it doesn't care what matter like what kind of gamer you are. It's just like, you're a gamer, cool, we're all friends here.
That's exactly what it was. Everybody, you know, everybody exchanging, you know, when people come up to you in a cosplay and like, oh, you're my favorite character, it's all across the board, just like at all points of the day you're seeing somebody, you know, being excited about, you know, hey, this group of people, or hey, this, you know, this particular booth, or just like everybody's just such great high positive energy. It was amazing to be part of that, really. It was absolute thrill. I'm going to use that word again.
So one of my favorite things about PAX is the fact that they do like a lot of independent and small booths there. Did you get a chance to kind of run around and try some of those games out?
Oh yes, definitely. I think the one that caught my interest over in the indie section, I think it was Butt Sniffing Pugs. And I was like, okay, well,
that's been making the rounds.
That's just so different and just kind of like, I don't want to say off-putting. You're just like, what? But okay, you got me to come over. You know, they had the little they even had a cutout where you could stick your face in and you could be a butt sniffing pug if you wanted to, and it was that was pretty funny. I like just the off the wall spirit of the indie gamer. Just, you know, there's so much established gaming of what gaming, you know, is, can be, should be, but people are so creative, and I love how gaming, especially now, has been so open to interpretation, and there's so many different ways that you can express yourself in a gaming now, that just the possibilities are endless if people just, you know, are able to find out about it and give things a chance. It's amazing.
Definitely. So I know from the photos that you've taken, you were at the Battleborn booth. Are
yeah,
you excited for it as much as everybody else is?
Yes. Yeah. I was really pleasantly surprised about it, but really unpleasantly surprised when I found that there's not actually a cosplay contest. I mean, or at least that I knew of. I was asking everybody. I was like, I can't find anything on the website, on the app, or, you know, I even had to stop by the Battleborn booth and say, hey guys, is there a cosplay contest? And nobody knew. So I was like, I'm guessing that's a no, which was really a shame because the caliber of cosplay running around at this convention is staggering. I mean, from like, you know, the delicate and detailed pieces to just the size and the complexity of it. My mind was blown. I gotta say, you know, I was going for the, you know, I was kind of going for like the cosplay because I knew it was, I had high expectations, but I gotta say, I was pleasantly surprised, probably evenly on both levels by both the cosplay and, you know, the experience of actually being there. So I was over the moon, probably. And I was telling my husband this, and actually the taxi driver on the way home was saying how sweet it was, that it was like the best weekend of my life for like in like the longest time. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, PAX is one of those things where it's really all about the gaming experience, not so much about the cosplay. And I think cosplay is bigger at Prime because it's in Seattle. It's in one of the hubs of so many cosplayers in Washington and Northern California, which has a big costuming presence. So I'm not surprised that you didn't see like a whole ton of cosplay, but I figured the best of the best would probably be going there.
Oh, certainly.
Cosplay contest stuff is tends to be very much on the down low. Like, I know, like, BioWare sometimes in their own booth will have, like, a cosplayer parade, and it's just basically whoever's in costume can come up. They'll walk around. They'll give away silly prizes, but everybody gets something, so it's fun.
Sure.
And last year at PAX East, there was another group that had their own cosplay contest. But otherwise, PAX tends to keep it pretty much on the down low for giving back to the cosplayers. And I always thought that was interesting, given how much our community has grown recently.
Yeah, that is something that I was certainly curious about. Because you know, you would usually those kinds of cosplayers are going to be at the appropriate booth and is going to garner that much attention. I understand that there's this big debate over, well, is the attention on the cosplayer, is the attention on the game and the product, you know, and is that appropriate? but I think that, you know, a contest, you know, you don't have to make it the gem of the show if you don't want to, but I think it'd be an appropriate kind of like shout out, be like, hey guys, you total fans, let's do you some fan service and give you a little bit of cosplay contest or what have you, you know, special mentions, I'm not sure. But then on another level, it was great to see, people kind of casually cosplaying, you know, they felt they could, you know, anybody could bring just a guy in jeans and a t-shirt could have this gigantic keyblade he's just carrying around, which is just wonderful. Maybe if you just want to throw on a wig that, you know, they could say, oh, well, you know, I'm, you know, Nurse Joy, but, you know, in plain clothes, you know, you could express your fandom in a very casual way. And I really appreciated that because, you know, some people, you know, are hair people. So they have this great articulate, you know, detailed wig. Articulate is not the right word. intricate is the word I'm thinking. Intricate, you know, detailed wigs and, or you know, like sewing projects, or, you know, maybe somebody took a lot of time and wanted to do a really great, you know, like a portal gun or some of that. You get the reference and you appreciate their fandom, but, you know, maybe they have different priorities in their lives, you know, and they want to spend time, you know, they want to express their fandom, but maybe not necessarily in like a whole getup kind of way. And I feel like people were more comfortable, you know, being able to kind of do it more casually and still express themselves without having to compete with, you know, somebody who does like to put all this time and effort, kind of like you and Amber and some of us do. And I really appreciated that. It was really accepting of the whole culture, really. And that was, I'm going to say thrilling again. That was wonderful.
That's the cool thing about PAX and why I like going back so much. I'm already excited for South, which is only a couple months away. And I'm just like, I don't even have my tickets yet. Tickets are not even on sale and I'm ready to go.
Oh gosh. Wow. Okay. I make sure you got your alarm set and like on the computer when you're ready. That stuff's going to fly.
No kidding. I'm already dreading that because it's supposed to go out on Wednesday, and Wednesday I have an all-day meeting at work, so I'm going to be like on my phone checking every 10 minutes going like, boss, I'm still here, I swear, I just need to get my tickets.
Right. You know, you got to hire somebody to babysit. What is it? Are they going to do one of the raffle kind of, I guess, lottery? Is that how they're doing it, or is that just first come, first serve?
First come, first serve. They're usually pretty good about their ticket system, unlike Comic-Con.
let's just say
San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
What was your favorite booth over the weekend?
Ooh, you know what? I gotta say, and I'm kind of biased just because PAX is one of those places you have to get there immediately, find the booth that you want to really experience, be willing to even though you're one of the first people there, be willing to wait in line for 4 hours, for instance, and get to experience 15 minutes, half an hour of this thing. And that thing for me was the Sony virtual reality headset. I got to try that on.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I could not believe, like, my husband is in the industry, and so he gets to experience this really often, and he gets to tell me all this wonderful stuff I haven't been able to experience myself. That was amazing. what was it? They so I got set up, and I had this room. I have my two sticks here, my little wands, and the headset on. And the first thing I experience is I'm underwater on this shipwreck, little fish swimming by, and I'm just walking up and down the deck of the ship. And once in a while, I'll get these really scary green lines that say, okay, you're going to hit your head on the wall, like in real life right now. So back off. So immersive and just so... intelligent, I guess. When you move, it moves like you would expect, instead of there being a lag, for instance. So very true to like the movement of your body. So that was great, because I'm a big mermaid fan, and I haven't really grown out of that since I've been 2 years old. So that was kind of cool. I'm underwater. There's this whale coming over and saying hi. It was amazing. And then the game that I got to play was actually archery. And growing up, that was what one of the activities I would do during summer camp. So that was really up my alley. I had my two wands. All I had to do was like pull an arrow out of my my quiver back here. And you could using your wands, you could gotta pay attention to my camera here, be able to, pull the trigger, and there goes your arrow. And it was great. The best part of that was the sound effect and the reaction of the controller. Actually, it felt like a twang when you released the arrow. It blew my mind. It was amazing.
That's cool.
I wish I could have spent more time at the Minecraft booth. That was actually really staggering. All of the capped lines were just so, but I didn't get to experience one thing. The Halo, I've been classically a big Halo fan, looked pretty interesting. Mario Maker was very popular, and we actually
so much fun.
Oh my gosh, yeah, we bought it over the weekend, and we need to get on that. Everybody's a Mario fanboy. I think it's just part of the gamer. You grew up on Mario, so everybody's a Mario fanboy, and it was so popular, and just amazing to get the opportunity to manipulate that game, something that's so core to so many people. So most certainly, I have to say those are my top three. And then like I said, I'm a little biased towards the Vive because I actually got, that was the thing that I got to do. I got to see lots of things. I got to check out lots of people, get an idea of what was available, but that was the thing I actually got to do. And I do not regret it. That was amazing.
Awesome. Did you happen to sit on any panels by any chance?
I'm afraid not. What happened was I was able to get in last minute because my husband actually works for a company that was doing a booth in not the actual main hall, but like I think it was the Embassy Suites or something, or the Sheraton down the road. So I was hanging out with him a lot and pitching in. Part of the deal of getting to go along, and I was fine with this. So I did a lot of hanging out there. So there were a couple I wanted to see. I think the problem I ran into was that they had theaters and venues all around Seattle. And I was really looking forward to Geek Girls and Women in Gaming. And I missed it because I ended up going to the wrong venue. So I was super disappointed. But I liked that they had that kind of, not necessarily specifically IP or business or developer related panels or artist related panels, but also the culture about it. They had those in available as panels, and that was really encouraging. Something that I appreciated as a woman for this panel specifically, but as somebody who is part of the culture and wants to experience the culture and get to know the people around me that share the same passion. So that I was very encouraged, and I really would like to be able to do more next time.
Now, is there anything that you wish to see at future PAX shows, maybe?
A cosplay contest. I really don't know what else, I would put in there. I mean, there were all sorts of things to look at and buy. I mean, the board game section. Okay, that was the other thing. They had a gaming section. It wasn't just video games. They had their board games and their card games. And being a gamer, I'm a Catan fiend. Arkham Horror, that series is amazing. It's long and complicated, but it's amazing. If you have the time to learn it, I recommend it. they had their fancy like gaming tables that you could buy, coffee tables. They're a little bit out of my price range for the moment, but you know, you convert them into having drawers that, you know, with little foam inserts for, you know, your Xbox controllers and stuff like that, or your dies, or, you know, perfect for, you know, anything, even like card games, like poker, if you wanted to, just super, just really clever stuff. We love clever stuff like that, you know, that are really practical. So, I mean, there's plenty of stuff to buy. I guess the only thing I could complain about is just the amount of people and how long you had to wait and line caps. But I think that's just part of, you know, the deal of it being such a huge mecca for gamers, is just, you're going to have to wait, you know, there's a supply and demand kind of thing, and you have to go by those rules. And I don't think really I could have any recommendations for changing it, other than like, it was kind of annoying, but I see why it is the way it is. So
yeah, that's like the one downside that everybody says. It's like, there's lines, but it's like, there's going to be lines everywhere. There's 60,000 people in one small area. It's going to happen. I mean, if you really want to see something, just make your way out there about 4 hours in advance and just start waiting.
It's true. Buddies. You really do need to get, you really need a plan when you go into, you want to be there first thing if possible. Sometimes, I mean, I guess you can hang around the line cap and hope that you can sneak in whenever it's not capped. I didn't actually hang around a try, but, you have to make a plan, but which ones am I going to see? And you have to set aside a day for each one. I'm going to go do Mario Maker today. All right, cool. Well, we're going to experience that. Maybe I can sneak into another line, but Mario Maker is on Friday. All right, Halo's going to be on Tuesday. I'm going to have to, what day do I have the least amount of stuff, the least amount of panels? Okay, well, that's the day I'm probably going to go do the virtual reality, because that one does take so long. It's a 15-minute, 30-minute experience for each person in line. That makes sure that your phone's fully charged, you know, you have a drink of water or a coffee, and you're good to go. You gotta be patient. But I mean, all of us being gamers, everybody had their little Game Boys out and were playing on their phones, so everybody had something to do. And like I said, it was just amazing. I don't know if I would change too much, you know, that I actually think could be changed, you know.
But clearly you enjoyed yourself.
Yeah, no, like when I say it was the best weekend of my life, you know, in a very long time, I wasn't joking. I mean, just the content of the weekend, the people I was hanging out with, the location. I didn't realize Seattle's so gorgeous. A wonderful city, unbelievable food. And I got to hang out with my husband, who was stuck working at this con that, you know, conventions have actually gotten to be kind of like, he's gotten kind of jaded because he's been to so many and had to work them all. So he's had to do the unfun side of the conventions. And it was nice being able to tag along and keep him company, you know, instead of being at home and all sad and petting cats all day and being bitter, you know, like I guess, well, I could play my game all day, but I would like to know all this new stuff. It really worked out for the best, and I really couldn't have asked for anything else.
Awesome. I think that's a great way to end this. So thank you so much. I'm super jelly. I wish I could have gone this year, because it's the one weekend where it and Dragon Con were at separate times, and it was like, money does not exist to do both. I have that's one true. Or the other.
That's true. That's true. Maybe next time. It'll be great no matter when you get to go, I'm sure.
Exactly. It's one of those things where it's like, I'm glad we have one in the South now that I can just kind of hop on over, not worry about plane travel. But even just going like to the East Coast for PAX East, it's one of those experiences where if you are a gamer of any type, you have to go at least once. It's just fun.
I called it a mecca for a reason. I did.
It's gamer heaven.
It is though, guys. Like, if there's any convention that you want to save up for, and I gotta say, Comic-Con's definitely up there. That one's on my bucket list. But you guys have got to give PAX, you know, some equal weight in this, just because of the caliber of product, people, culture, and innovation really that is there. I mean, it's not something. It's something I think that everybody should have on their bucket list if you call yourself a gamer. And even if you don't, even if, you know, you were a kid and you still have, you know, you have a Mario game, you have Mario Maker now because you're like, that was a great game. I don't have, you know, even if you don't call yourself a gamer, there it is something you have to experience about an event like that.
Most definitely. Well, thank you so much for your review. That was freaking awesome.
Always a pleasure.
I'm still jealous. And we are back. Thank you again to Catherine for her review. I'm still jealous, still seething in so much jealousy that you went to PAX Prime. And it's probably the one of the few times where PAX Prime and Dragon Con are not on the same weekend. And of course, because of money and life, it's really difficult to go to both. I would love to go to both. Oh my goodness. Probably not going to happen, but c'est la vie. There will be other times. There will be other years. So speaking of which, my Dragon Con review, yay. This is the one event that I was really, really excited for and have been excited since last year. Ever since I got home last year, I was planning to go back to Dragon Con. I was like, I need to go back. I have to go back. I just had so much fun. And anytime someone asks me to try to explain what the convention is, what it's about, what you do, all I can really tell people is it's geeky fun. That's the best way that I can explain it. And it's a giant party with 60,000 of your other friends or soon to be friends. And I've been anticipating going back since then. So I was really, really happy to get my butt back to Atlanta and do another full weekend of Dragon Con. And it felt like it went much faster than a typical weekend for me. My wallet would probably disagree with me, but it did feel like it went by a lot faster than normal. We got in on Thursday, left on Monday, did that type of thing. Thursday is definitely becoming like day one for Dragon Con now. It used to be day zero, but now that they have so much content going on Thursday, it's prudent for you to kind of be there first thing Thursday morning, if not first thing Wednesday evening, to get yourself ready for all of Thursday. So this year in particular, it wasn't as great as my first time. I think a lot of it had to do with the first Dragon Con experience newness kind of wearing off. But they also made some changes this year that I was kind of, it wasn't as grand as last time. There were some things that I did like and I appreciated the improvements. Some things I didn't like as much. So kind of a bit of a back and forth. And I also had a chance to sit in on more panels. We got to see more of like the behind the scenes of the convention, less of the party atmosphere. Last year, I did this kind of as the 11 things I learned about Dragon Con with really, really bad Microsoft sound effects. This year, I'm going to do this more in like a positive negative set to kind of help balance the review out a bit. I have a weird feeling that initially when I wrote up a review that I was going to be a little bit more negative than normal. And I was like, well, that's unfair to say because I did have fun. It was a different kind of fun. It wasn't quite as fun as last year, but it was still fun. I still enjoyed myself and I'm still planning on going back. I've already managed to book a hotel room, so I'm definitely going back next year. That alone says enough, because that's always challenge one, get the hotel room. As long as you get the hotel room, you can get everything else to work out for Dragon Con. But yeah, so I'm going to do a plus, you know, positive, negative, plus negative of the stuff that went on, but we'll go from there. You guys could kind of figure out whether I really enjoyed myself or if I'm just telling myself I enjoyed myself. And hopefully that made sense. All right, so first plus, staff members were much more aggressive this year about managing lines. And I mean that in a very good way, because Dragon Con has this soft rule about not allowing lines to start up until an hour before an event. Last year, this totally did not happen because we spoke to a woman who waited outside for an entire day, a full 24 hours, to be the first one into a Carrie Elway's panel. And yeah, that line management was absolutely insane. To think that you had to be there a full day in advance just to get into the panel room is bananas. And a lot of people complained about it. Staff went ahead and tried to turn it around and really push that 1 hour rule. So this year they tried to rein it in and they gave people a 2 hour head start as a max, which was nice because that meant that instead of spending our entire day sitting in this one line, we could actually go walk around the convention and do other things. And we could just grab a good seat probably an hour before we had to go into the panel. That was kind of nice. And we did this with a couple of panels. Specifically, the one that comes up to mind is a Game of Thrones Q&A, where we got into line maybe about an hour before the panel began. And they usually let people in about 30 minutes before the panel starts. So we really only stood in line for about 15, 20 minutes. And we got pretty darn good seats. So I'm glad that they were very efficient with the rule and really trying to enforce it this time. On the negative side, some of the AV techs on the camera were really awful. And I'm really sorry for saying that, ladies and gents, because I completely understand how hard it is to run all that equipment. I know how difficult technology can be because I've run it before at cons. I've done it before as a freelancer. I've done it before for school. I get it. However, if you don't know the basics of panning and tilting of a camera, you really don't need to be working that camera. And I have to refer to the Game of Thrones Q&A. It was a horrible thing to watch. It was one of the few panels that was also being live broadcasted to the hotel rooms, the host hotels. So if you weren't actually in the panel, you could watch from your room. Cool stuff. It was a bear to watch. Just seeing it on the big screens, that gentleman had no idea about the basics of camera work because it was just stuttering like this constantly, ups and downs. Da-da-da. People who were talking, the camera never moved to them. They just stayed on the moderator. It was horrible. And it couldn't have been an unresponsive tripod. So AV staff, check to make sure your camera operators know exactly what they're doing before you put them up there, because otherwise you get an hour of really horrible content and very unhappy convention goers. So next plus is the crowding. This year they were expecting about 65 to 70,000 people, and I'm sure they hit it. I'm almost positive that they hit it. But I was fairly surprised to see that the Marriott was not as crowded as it usually was. I could see the floor every day, which is kind of a running joke with the Marriott because it gets so busy that you could never see the carpet. And maybe it was fear of the new weird lined carpet that looked like it was going into infinity and beyond. Maybe people were just afraid of it. They didn't want to step on it. They didn't want to walk on it. I don't know. But maybe it also had to do with line management. Maybe because they were able to maintain the crowd so much better that there were less people cluttering spaces for no unnecessary reason. So that was really nice that I could actually walk around in the Marriott and walk around in the Hyatt and the Hilton and not feel like I was being completely like crushed into like a tuna can, which was nice. It was unexpected. On the negative side, what happened to all the big costumes? It seemed like this year a lot of attendees roamed the streets of Atlanta in a much more casual manner. And I'm wondering if the humidity from last year scared a lot of people from doing the really big, awesome costumes because it was humid and hot beyond all reason last year. Last year, it was a terrible heat wave. And I think a lot of people suffered for it. It was the most that I've heard of people passing out from heat exhaustion, myself nearly included. This year was a lot better. The humidity was down. It was much more comfortable to walk around. Yeah, I was still sweated a bit, but I mean, it's Atlanta in the middle of summer. It's gonna happen. But I think because of that, people were a little bit scared about bringing out the bigger stuff. So it was a little bit muted in the really big hallway giant costumes. I saw a couple of robots. There was apparently one dragon walking around, but that was maybe about it. So it was a little disappointing that my camera didn't get as many of the bigger costumes this year, but there really weren't too many to be had. On the flip side, it was really fun to see that there were so many Mad Max cosplayers, both from new school and old school Mad Max. That was just a blast to see. I'm in support of all that. So next big thing, there was a party at the Georgia Aquarium. Awesome. My negative, there was a party at the Georgia Aquarium. This to me was probably one of the biggest disappointments because last year I had a great time. The event was fun, it was open, and it was very inviting to Dragon Con. It felt like the aquarium went above and beyond to make the party special to us because they brought in costume performers that would also direct people to certain exhibits. They had the touch tanks open, they had marionettes of the sea creatures that circled the building. And they even had a DJ that catered to our nerdiness, that they did a lot of really geeky songs. It was just such a blast. This year, it fell completely flat. You know, other than the loud thumping cloud music, club music, it was just okay. It was basically the aquarium open for the evening with extended hours. That's about it. There wasn't anything special or unique about it. They had two tables out for alcoholic drinks and Woohoo! That was about it. And I think what really killed it for me is that they didn't keep the event restricted to the party ticket attendees. What they did in years prior is the aquarium would completely clear out all the day pass people. They would just close their doors early at like 6 o'clock, and everybody is expected to leave. That way, the aquarium is just for the party ticket holders. So it was our event. This year, they did not do that. We were one of the first people in there, and there were a lot of families and a lot of very young children, all looking incredibly confused by the people in crazy costumes and wondering what's going on, why did the music change, why is there alcohol being served, why did the prices of the food magically go up out of nowhere? And it was just like, it was very uncomfortable. It was very awkward. And I think between that and the fact that I had several families come up to us and ask us, hey, what's going on here? What is this, like an event or something? Is this like a charity thing? And I was just like, wait a second. Did none of the aquarium employees tell you guys that this was a party just for us? And they all kind of looked at us like we're completely dumbfounded. They were like, no, we didn't know. We thought the aquarium was open normal hours today. So I was equally surprised that one, they didn't clear out the aquarium, and so anybody with a day pass could get in. It wasn't our party anymore. Two, that the aquarium failed to notify the people who are there that, hey, there's going to be an adult-oriented party coming in. You may want to consider taking your families out. You're allowed to stay, but hey, you might want your families out. Like, they didn't notify anybody over the PA system. They didn't notify anybody in person. So it was just very awkward and very uncomfortable. And it was just just bad form on the aquarium's part. And I don't know if it's the aquarium's fault or if it's Dragon Con's fault, but one thing I know for certain is that I have had the chance to speak with the event manager. I explained to him all of my concerns. You know, it wasn't just about this, but the costume contest that they held there, which was new for them, for only 20 people long, it lasted about 2 hours. It blocked most of the major roadways within the center court of the aquarium, which you need to pass through in order to get through any of the exhibits. And they kept it blocked off even long after the costume contest ended. The drinks and the foods were really expensive. Some of our friends dropped $40 on just okay food. And I was like, wow, it just all the specialness that we had last year completely vanished. And I can see that just by looking at my camera and going, wow, I did not take any photos of anybody else at the aquarium. All the photos on here are of myself and my friends because we went as Pokemon, water Pokemon, to get photos there. But that was it. But I didn't take photos of anybody else there, and it was just sad. And I heard it being resonated by quite a number of attendees who were like, this lost all of its specialness. This wasn't the Dragon Con party that we expect. So I'm glad that the events manager is aware of all these issues. He's already taking the steps to address them. I think enough people have already complained about it because this was a pretty big faux pas on their part. So I know for certain I'm not going to be going back to it next year. Hopefully they have that time to kind of readjust and figure out where they went wrong and what they can do to improve it. All right. Next plus is DragonCon TV, which I love the fact that if you're so tired or if you're worn out or if you really don't want to spend the 2 hours standing in line for something that you may not get into because sometimes the line caps don't work out properly, a lot of the big events are broadcasted to all the main host hotels, and there's five host hotels in total. So we were able to on Sunday night, everybody was really tired. We didn't want to go back out. So we watched the big masquerade Sunday night from our hotel room. And it was great. It was a lot of fun. We got to see everything that the audience inside the auditorium got to see. And that includes a showing of Looney Tunes and Duck Dodgers. That was definitely one of my highlights. It made me feel like a 5-year-old again because I grew up on Looney Tunes. So that was enjoyable. But it was a lot of fun, and I'm glad that they take that into consideration, that there are people who want to see these events and it just sells out or fills up so quickly, and it's not really their fault that it happens. There's space limits and all that stuff. So they take the time and make sure that a lot of the main events are broadcasted. And other than the few AV issues, for the most part, they do a really good job of it. Now, on the negative, and this is not something with the con itself, this is definitely hotel staff members. The day of the parade, which was Saturday, Marriott staff were really flipping rude. Like ridiculously rude to the point of, are you sure you're in the right job position? Because, oh my God, you're being ridiculously rude. Like, there was a one situation where we had someone in our parade party who pretty much collapsed from a heat stroke. He got overheated way, way, way too quickly, and we needed him to cool off. And the only place that we were able to put him that was out of the way of foot traffic was near the fountain in the center of the Marriott courtyard where the cars can kind of drop off and go around. It was completely out of everybody's way. There was caution tape all around, and it's actually where parade staff want people to go if they need to transfer their like cars or their truck equipment around. So it was blocked off. It was fine. We weren't interrupting anybody. And not even 10 minutes in, where we're worried about this guy, some staff member comes out, starts yelling at us, like, you need to get off the fountain, you need to move away, you got to move right now. And he kept yelling and yelling and yelling it nonstop. And barely 10 seconds had passed where he said it again to us. And it was just like, dude, okay, back off. Can you give us 10 seconds to one, pick up our stuff? Two, make sure that the man who passed out from heat exhaustion is okay, because for the love of all that's holy, he's a human being. Can we make sure he's okay before we move him? Because that's a big issue too, because we actually had like EMTs come over to check on him. So I don't know what was up their butt. I don't know if maybe that guy just was tired of seeing all the madness and the insanity. I don't know if maybe that was his first year there and didn't know that you need to be a little bit more relaxed because, hey, parade day, it's busy, it's hot, people are trying to like cool off immediately. I don't know what was going on, but that dude was hella rude, and yeah, it was not good. It was not good at all. Another plus is that the AC in all the hotels and most of the skywalks was actually very consistent. Thank goodness, because oh my goodness, even though it was nicer than usual heat and humidity wise this year, constant AC is a lovely, lovely thing. And the fact that it was on in most of the skywalks made my life so much better, especially wearing my Amidala costume. Oh my goodness. On the negative, in line with the Marriott staff member, it seems like people in Atlanta generally were rude this time around. Maybe that also had to do with the heat. I don't know, because that Southern hospitality was totally not there like usual. Lots of swearing and lots of talking back too. There's also been some reports of people having their badges stolen, their pockets and their bags looted. One photographer in particular had his camera swiped from his booth as he was standing right there. And it was just like, dude, seriously, people, why are we being a-holes? You're making it so we can't have nice things. And it's a wonder if it's even Dragon Con attendees that are doing this. A lot of people know better than that, especially convention goers. So it may be a situation where it was an outside party did this under the guise of being a part of Dragon Con and didn't actually have a badge because this particular booth was in an area where you didn't technically need a badge. So yeah, and it's just unfortunate that that crap happens. And it's like you have to be extra careful of everything now. And it's why I have a giant bodyguard to come with me everywhere. So there you go. On another plus, badge pickup is still rocking. It is so freaking easy. We spent more time, once again, just walking to get to the hotel with the badge than actually standing in line to pick up ours. I think we waited a grand total of 3, 4 minutes, if that. Hey, anime conventions, take note. I still got a really nice personalized badge and didn't have to wait 5 hours to pick it up. It is an awesome badge. It's a rockin' badge, and I suck for not having it in my hand to show you guys right now. So, anime cons, take note. No reason to have 6-hour lines. On the negative, when it comes to the parade, I love the group that we were with, and I will always love the N7 Elite group. I will never say anything negative about them because they make me love cosplay so much. But the parade organizers totally jacked up our group. We were supposed to have a walking thresher mob in the form of a Chinese dragon and a truck as part of our team, along with all the people who are walking with us. Awesome, cool. The people who made these things did a fantastic job, and it looked all great. However, the parade organizers sent our thresher maw and our truck probably about like 12 groups ahead of us. Why? We have no flipping clue. We seem to be the only group that got screwed over on this because they were so far out ahead of us, we had no way of catching up to them, and there was no way for them to stop and wait for us because they were such an integral portion of the parade. It was just really, really funny, and it was just like, okay, so we're back here, and we spent all this time planning, and we had music to go through. Some of us actually practiced some dance routines, the music that would be playing from the truck. It was just all went out the window, and it was disappointing because a lot of people put a lot of time and effort into getting that setup done, and then the parade organizers just fudged it up. So instead, our Thresher Maw and our truck were behind Xena Warrior Princess. Okay, whatever. I'm sure not a very unhappy email with the parade organizers because of that. Another plus was that great hangout times can still be had in the madness of this event. I still think this is one of the best places to go for people watching, and that's really all you need to do is just spend a couple of hours one evening inside the Marriott and just watch everybody on like one of the higher floors because it's just so much fun, and it's just great to see all the insanity and the madness as well as all the camaraderie. For all the negative things that happened, so many people come together because of Dragon Con, and it really does become like a member of your extended family. They have nothing but love and support for each other, which is why I think a lot of the negative things are outside influences, not really people of Dragon Con's fault. So yeah, it's just one of those things. I think overall, though, I did have fun. I'm not going to say that I didn't have fun because I still enjoyed myself. I met some people that I've been wanting to meet for a long time. I still had a blast at the Borderlands shoot, even though it was for a brief period of time and we were in full sun. That's never fun. I finally made it through an N7 photo gathering, which I couldn't do last year. And the camaraderie and the love that people have for each other is just so great. And it makes me realize why I like being a fan of these games, because the fans are equally as cool and just as nice as they are online. It's so great. And it really was just fun to hang out with my friends here from Texas and from the South region. It wasn't as fun as last year. I think that there were some things that Dragon Con can do to improve it. And I know that they're going to be looking towards improving security because of all these little issues that kept coming up that were outside of their control and their knowledge. So that'll be a bummer for next year, but maybe that'll also be a vast improvement. But yeah, overall, I enjoyed myself. It's one of those things where I think the pictures on my camera can speak for themselves. I went to more group gatherings, so I have more gathering photos. And a lot of the casual cosplays kind of bypassed me, and I didn't realize it, so I don't have as many hallway images, which kind of sucks, but you know, it is what it is. I've already decided that next year I'm going to go into full like media personality cosplay mode, so it'll just be like April O'Neil. I'm going to be doing one of the news reporters for Mass Effect. I'm probably going to do one of the characters from Big Trouble in Little China. So it's just going to be like me being reporter all weekend long so I can take a ton of photos and break my camera. Like that's going to be my goal because that's the one thing I really hate that I didn't do this year was take a ton of photos. And I want to rectify that next year. So that's something to look forward to is lots of photos of all the madness that is Dragon Con. And I still argue that it is a convention that people need to attend at least just once. Unless you have a thing against crowds or you have major anxiety about crowds because it gets packed really fast. So, other than that, totally go. It should be a bucket list item for everybody. And we're going to take a sip of water because that was a long review. There you go. You got a double review today, kids. You had PAX Prime and you had Dragon Con. It doesn't get more filling than that. There is just so much stuffs. You know what I forgot to talk about? The costuming exhibit. Yes, because I was like boasting the crap out of this on our last episode. I wasn't too thrilled with the costuming exhibit. And I hate to say that. It has nothing to do with the work that was being presented because all the costumes that were there were awesome. I took a ton of photos, mostly of the Game of Thrones outfit because I want to make that dress. But there was so the costumes that were there were great, really good quality. It was really cool to be able to actually see not only the costumes, but you could see the shoes, you could see the accessories, you could see the wigs. All of them had their like a cool little title card that gave you descriptions on what the costumers did to make these outfits. So it was really neat to see. What I didn't like was how few costumes were there because they boasted it to be so much bigger on their social media than it really was, and the way that they set up the exhibit. So the exhibit took place in one of the panel rooms that was being utilized by the costuming group all weekend long. The only time you were allowed to go in and look at those costumes was between the 30 minutes when they're doing their panel changeovers. So you couldn't just walk into the middle of a panel and go look at it, which the fact that it was in a panel room where panels were taking place was a little, it was really inconvenient because there were quite a number of us who just sat outside waiting for like this weird break between a patterning and a drafting panel and a leatherworking panel. All we wanted to do was see the costumes. That was it. And there was no line for us anywhere because the only line that existed in this tiny little hallway was for leatherworking. So we just kind of stood there being a burden and being in everybody's way, which was really uncomfortable. And it made it even more uncomfortable to go up and see these costumes because they were at the front of the room. So you had all the chairs here in the backside, and then you had the panel station up front, and then on the right and the left of that panel station were the exhibits. So you had to go up to the front of the room in front of everybody as they look at your back while you look over these costumes. It was just weird, and it was just uncomfortable. And I don't know, I just didn't wasn't a big fan of it. And the way that they described it on the panel form and on the their little like Dragon Con app, it didn't sound like that the only time you could visit it was like 30 minutes between panels. It sounded like you could go in and look at it anytime. Because when we tried to go in, we were told, no, you have to wait until the panel ends. And I was like, well, that's dumb. And we sat there and waited for about 40 minutes to go in for 15 costumes that were all kind of squished together, so you really couldn't see as much detail as you would like. So yeah, it was less than spectacular. And again, it has nothing to do with the costumes themselves. All the costumes were really cool to look at. It was the way that they set it up. And it would have been much more impressive if they gave it its own space, even if it was a small one, and allowed people to come and go as they please. It would have been even better if some of the people who made those costumes were actually there to talk about their outfits. I think that would have been a really neat feature because I would have loved to have gone up to the person that made one of these like Broadway pieces and be like, so how did you do this? And just to hear from them, their experience in making these things. I mean, that seems like it would be so much more interesting to costumers and to fans versus, your 30-minute window in a panel room. There you go, have fun. So I don't know. I was not really impressed by it. It was a good idea. It needs to be fleshed out a lot more, and it needs to have its own room. All right. So anyway, that's my Dragon Con review. I know it sounds like I had a lot more negatives, but I did have fun. I met a lot of great people. We had good times. We had some fun eating out times, and the costume contest was absolutely hilarious. I have really fantastic roommates who kept me laughing the whole night long. I can't thank you guys enough. Cross on cross. So with that's all I've got for episode 98. Thank you guys so much for watching. You know the drill. You can find us on our social media and on our website, cospod.org, and then our Facebook page, which is / cosplay podcast. And then for our YouTube, it's cos podcast. Just remember to have all of your submissions for episode 100 in by September 20th, which is a Sunday. Please, please, please get them in. We would like to see all the crazy things that you guys have in store for us. Or if you just want to mention, hey, this was my favorite episode, or if this was my favorite segment, or anything of the sort, we'll take it. But it has to be in by the 20th, just so I have time to compile everything together. That's the only reason why. So until then, we will see you in episode 99. Have a good one, guys.